WBAL News Radio 1090, Brian Niemann with you on this Monday morning. Pleased to be joined again by Joe DeGeneva, former U.S. attorney for the nation's capital, founding partner of the law firm DeGeneva & Tensing, and an advisor to President Trump on non-Russia-related matters. Great to have you on, and a happy Easter to you.
And a happy Easter to you, Brian.
All right. You are not the president's lawyer. You're not part of the counsel. You are an advisor. So how did that all go down? Because the president obviously wanted to bring you on his team. At least that's the way it was reported.
Well, my wife and I, Victoria, were in Palm Springs, California. I got a phone call from the president one day. There's that wonderful ring when the White House operator says, are you available to take a call from the President of the United States? Most Americans, of course, would say, I sure am. And I took a call from the President, and without disclosing the contents of that call, we had a very lengthy discussion, and he invited me to the White House upon our return from Palm Springs, and Victoria and I went over there for a meeting for an hour and a half with the President and a team of his lawyers. And let me just say at the outset, while I am free ethically to discuss all of these process questions, I am not free to discuss any conversations I had with the president because there are ethical rules that a client is entitled to certain confidences during meetings like that. I can tell you that the president himself tweeted that he regretted the conflicts and looked forward to working with us, and we similarly responded with a statement echoing that it was honored to chat with him and that we look forward to working with him on other legal matters, which we are doing.
Can you tell us what the conflicts are or were?
It is a direct result of having represented some other people in the investigation, and although those really were not technical conflicts, they were conflicts of appearances. That's about all I can say.
Okay. What exactly are you doing for the president then as an advisor?
Well, that is as well as privilege, but I can tell you, Victoria and I are playing the role of lawyers on television and in real life.
Okay, so do you talk with the president at all?
Yes,
do you meet with him?
In fact, I was about to add to my little story about the history of this that the president has. We've spoken with the president several times since our responsive respective statements last week, and we continue to chat with his lawyers and with him.
Did you get a sense, can you give us a sense of what it was like meeting with the president and his general feelings, especially on Mueller?
Well, let me just say this. I was, first of all, it was an honor for Victoria and me to go to the White House and meet with the president. I can tell you this. He is nothing if not charming. He is extremely intelligent and incisive. He is a stunning questioner. He is not afraid to ask a question and pound in repeatedly and ask questions. He knows everything that is going on around him. He has a complete understanding of the legal battlefield that he is facing, and that has been, let me say this with the deepest of sincerity, the President of the United States has been put in this position by a career civil servant who used to be the U.S. Attorney in Baltimore. Rod Rosenstein created a special counsel where none is authorized by law. When he appointed Robert Mueller, he named no predicate crime for which a special counsel is required to be appointed. He did it to cover his fanny. And I think it is a disgraceful and cowardly act that Rosenstein did because he didn't want to make tough political decisions. You saw what Jeff Sessions did over the last few days. He appointed a current Utah U.S. attorney, John Huber, to assess whether or not FISA applications by the Obama FBI and Justice Department violated the law and led to the unmasking and illegal leaking of dozens of Trump-related individuals and persons. Rod Rosenstein could have done exactly the same thing in the case of the election nonsense about Russian collusion, and he didn't do so. and it is inconceivable to me why he did not. Now, those are my opinions. Mm-hmm. So what I'm telling you right now is what I think of Rod Rosenstein. I have no respect for the man, and I think what he has done is he has taken away from a duly elected president of the United States over a year of his presidency by this foolish and cowardly act of appointing and unauthorized act of appointing a special counsel. That's it. The president of the United States is a fascinating figure, great sense of humor, delightful human being to be in the presence of, and I must tell you, I've always liked him, and I voted for him, but I left the White House thinking, this guy can do great things, and I believe it. I believe it to my core. I believe that he has been victimized by an incompetent Justice Department led temporarily by Rod Rosenstein, who I think is a disgrace.
You have said that many times before. Do you believe that the president shares those views at all?
I have no idea how the president feels about Mr. Rosenstein.
Last question before I let you go, and yeah. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Again, we're talking with Joe DiGenova.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, Brian. I missed you there. I was in withdrawal after Palm Springs talking to you.
Well, you know, you're welcome to come on anytime. But I want to ask you about this because, you know, when it got out that you were going to be on the president's council and you were going to work for the president as a lawyer, it was maybe not nonstop 24-hour news, but it was certainly – fodder on all of the on the cable shows and CNN.
Oh, they loved me, didn't they?
Well, so this is what my question is going to be. CNN referred to you over and over again as a conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
And listen, you've had some very interesting views for sure. But how did you feel as your moniker as a conspiracy theorist?
Brian, I was a U.S. attorney. I was an independent counsel of the United States, special counsel to the House of Representatives. For 40 years, I've been conducting investigations. The nutty newspaper, New York Times, Washington Post, description of those as conspiracy theories, what they are is, which is what shows you how bad the press has become, what I have said about the, as you know, Brian, I have said for more than a year that I believe that the president was the victim of a brazen plot by senior FBI and DOJ officials in the Obama administration to do two things: illegally exonerate Hillary Clinton, which everybody in the world now believes is exactly what happened in light of the text messages and all the Inspector General information coming out. And the second part of the plot was that if Hillary lost and didn't become president, those same DOJ, FBI, Obama people were going to do everything within their power to prevent Trump from continuing as president by framing him with a crime. If anyone thinks that the FISA applications that these people approved were proper and weren't part of a plot to legally frame Trump, they're nuts themselves. What happened here is, look at John Brennan over the last 30 days. Look at the things that he has said as a former director of Central Intelligence. That tells you that the animus directed at this man, Trump, before he was president, after he was elected, and after he was sworn in, there was a plot led by Brennan and Lynch and Comey and Strzok and McCabe and others to frame the president of the United States and other people. And that's not a crazy theory. That's facts and then reasonable inferences drawn from those facts. And I challenge James Comey, Loretta Lynch, the editorial page of the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal to a debate at the National Press Club on all of this, on conspiracy theories. I challenge them all. Anytime, I'll show up with no notes, and let's see how they do.